You've been lied to, but you don't know how. You've searched, you've struggled, you've cried out. You want the truth, but where is it? You've wandered, you've fought, you've strived, and you have not been satisfied. What is truth? Where is truth? Who is truth? The kingdom of God. Mind control. The last days. Higher dimensions. Unity. The power of faith. Discovering the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. God has promised that He will hide us under His feathers, and under His wings we will trust. His truth shall be our shield and our buckler. Discovering the Truth with Dan DeVaughn is the premier program that is designed to center you on the kingdom of God, to equip you with faith in Jesus Christ, and to unveil the truth behind the lies. This program is designed to show you how to become more than you have ever imagined through the power of truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And now, prepare for your host, Dan DeVaughn.
You're listening to Discovering the Truth with Dan DeVaughn. This show is designed to center you on the kingdom of God, to equip you with faith in Jesus Christ, and to unveil the truth behind the lies. This program is a production of Bride Ministries, and you can find us at www.bridemovement.com. Now, we are moving in a number of directions, folks, that are really exciting. So before we get to our program, the 28 Doctrines of Demons, Part 2, I'm going to give you a brief update. Number 1, discipleship is an ongoing agenda for Bride Ministries. Now, we have been running 4 groups per week, and I've been doing that in addition to everything else I am doing. Folks, as we conclude the 4 groups that we are in the process of doing right now, we are going to be taking a few weeks off. I have a few things in my personal life that are going to require a lot of attention for a couple weeks, and so we will be launching more groups later on in the month of May. If you are on our waiting list, you'll be hearing from us probably close to the very beginning of May, and we will have information to you, including the dates that we'll be starting and all of the other relevant information regarding how we are doing the online discipleship. If you are interested in this online discipleship through Bride Ministries, be sure to contact us at www.bridemovement.com and give us your information. With the discipleship, we have broken it up into 4 courses, I guess you could say, 4 phases that are 8-week series. And those phases are 1, grace, 2, in Christ, 3, the kingdom, and 4, spiritual warfare. So, really exciting stuff. Now, if you haven't gotten your hands on Kingdom Government and the Promise of Sheep Nations, I want to encourage you. That book is available. It is a revolution packed into a data file. It is available as an ebook. As soon as I see that my costs, my personal costs for publishing that book and paying for the editing and everything else related, has been covered, I'll be moving to publish the next book, which is called Higher Dimensions, Parallel Dimensions, and the Spirit Realm. We are moving forward on our plans to break into media, folks. We are moving to cast and produce a pilot. We have the script, and now we are also looking into the idea of producing a teaching program. We'll see where all of that goes, but we are working on it. Also, I've been saying that we are looking to underwrite the cost of helping individuals that have suffered from dissociative identity disorder because of mind control agendas. As of last week, we were helping 3. Folks, one day we hope to help thousands through the organization. Now, We have a three-phase plan to do this. We are on phase one, which is to create a community of DID coaches that can successfully lead individuals that have survived this atrocity through the steps and the stages of healing, of deliverance, of reintegration. Folks, as we build this, we will be phasing into the second part of our vision, which is to actually build a facility which will allow us to house people that are in such dire circumstances they can't possibly heal in their present situation. Step three is to reproduce this workable model throughout the world, everywhere that there are people suffering from dissociative identity disorder due to mind control agenda, satanic ritual abuse, and so on and so forth. We cannot do that without three forms of capital. That is prayer capital, human capital, and financial capital. And so, folks, we want to thank all of you that are praying for us. We need it. We want to encourage those that, well, there's few out there, but I know you're out there, people that are able to successfully work with those that have dissociative identity disorder, that have a track record of working with individuals in this area that is successful. We want to partner with you. We want to link arms. We want to grow this thing. We will be figuring out ways to train people to do this in the future. But also, we want to just take a moment now and thank all of you that have been jumping on board with us financially, have been sowing into Bride Ministries and what we're doing here, because you are currently making possible the growth that we are experiencing. Thank you so much. I want to remind those of you that we have on the drawing board to create an interactive internet-based ministry service, church service, whatever you want to call it. The idea would be to produce worship, a teaching, and an interactive online fellowship experience based around those things being taught and presented, all as part of the ministry service. It would be entirely interactive and internet-based, folks. It's revolutionary, and we have it on the drawing board. Let us know if you have great ideas in this area. The last thing I want to bring up is a reminder that, you know what? It is part of the vision to actually underwrite ministry efforts with the profits from real business. Folks, as much as I appreciate those of you that partner with us financially and sow into Bride Ministries, I want to see the day where it is business, profits, and revenue that underwrite the ministry that we do and the cost of all the various things involved, in order that the money people actually sow into the organization goes straight to the point of need, wherever those needs open up and whatever kinds of ministry we are reaching out to in as future unfolds. Folks, so much is on the horizon, and we are simply following Jesus. With that said, we're going to the program. Folks, without further ado, as we come back from break, we will be getting to the rest of the 28 Doctrines of Demons Revealed. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Discovering the Truth with Dan Duvall. Folks, we are back on Discovering the Truth with Dan Duvall for part two of The Doctrines of Demons Exposed. And I'm really excited to get to the rest of this list. Now, the Bible says in 1 Timothy 4:1, now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. When we read this passage, it is clear that the doctrines of demons exist, but the details, what they are, is not outlined, at least not here. Now, we're asking, what are the doctrines of demons? And for a long time, I had no idea, until I came across a book called Magus Thorona, High Priest of Satan in South Africa, which is available at Amazon.com. Now, this book detailed the testimony of Phil Botha, who is now deceased but was a high-ranking satanic priest in South Africa that escaped the power of the cult by the power and intervention of Jesus Christ. In that book, some of the doctrines of demons are disclosed while others are not. The author of that book, Phil Botha's biographer, is back with me to continue our discussion on the 28 doctrines of demons as they were revealed to the late Phil Botha. His name is Francis, and he is a minister in South Africa. He is the author of Magus Thorona, High Priest of Satan in South Africa, and is also the author of an upcoming book on the very subject we are in the midst of discussing right here, the 28 Doctrines of Demons. Francis, it is a pleasure to have you back on Discovering the Truth with Dan Duvall.
Thanks very much. I'm looking forward to this.
Well, I am too. And in our last program, we got into a number of the doctrines of demons, which I will review for those that are just catching this one and haven't had the chance to go back to the last one. But before I do that, you're the author of the biography of Phil Botha, Magus Thorona, High Priest of Satan in South Africa. And I want to ask you, why do you use the name Thorona in the title of that book?
For one specific reason, Phil instructed me not to put Phil Botha accepts Jesus or ex-high priest finds Christ. He said he wants them to know that the book is authentic. So he said, when you start it, you put Magus Thorona. And every bona fide Satanist, every genuine member, not these followers of Anton LaVey, but those who have been in the temples and the sanctuaries and have been initiated into Satanism, they will all know the term and the name Thorona, because they have to use that to greet the high priest Magus when they see him. So we use that as, you could say, a trick clause, because unfortunately there are some people who are standing up in churches claiming that they are ex-high priests, and when I challenge them with the book cover title, they don't know what to say about Thorona, and then we ask them to sit down and I take over and explain. And the main reason is when unsaved, genuine members of Satanism see the title Thorona, they will say, wait, this guy is definitely, he's real. He's either in Satanism or he's come out of it. I want to read the book. And I don't know how many have made copies, but we did get some kind of reporting that many of the high priests and priests around the world have bought copies, because they all knew of Phil Botha. He reached the highest level in Satanism, in the current use of Satanism, which is the ninth level. That's South Africa. It's the worst, and it's also the highest.
Now, what does that mean, to reach the highest level of Satanism in South Africa? What is the meaning of the ninth degree, as Phil was able to relay to you?
Without going into too much detail, we refuse point blank to give the enemy any credit. So I will go on record as saying the ninth level, to reach that level, would be to have more power. And if you see or read the book of Magus, you will see what a beautiful change grace did in the life of Fulbwerter. But although he was my spiritual father for 12 and a half years, I know him. I knew him so well. I prayed with him. I ministered with him. I led souls to Christ with him. Mm-hmm. And yet, I couldn't wrap my head around when he said how evil, how wicked, how absolutely domineering and deceptive he was, how cruel he was to the high priests that came there to visit, and especially the witches. He used to hit them. And as I say, you look at a spiritual father and you think, this man came out of Satanism, which is wow. But now he tells me he was so cruel and so evil with abuse. It is so hard to believe, but that is the grace of Jesus Christ. So all I would like to say is that the ninth level is still held today, 2015, by the high priest, the current high priest in Satanism in South Africa. Frankfurt, France, and Europe only reached the fifth level, and America, believe it or not, has only reached the second level.
Oh, wow. Okay. So, in order to review some of the things that we talked about last time, I just want you to catch our audience up with how Phil Botha received the 28 Doctrines of Demons in his role as high priest.
Okay. During his early stages of initiation, he was initiated into the priesthood, and he had to study for 10 years to become high priest. During the first 2 years, his spirit guide, Thorunner, we call him Thorunner, it's a pseudonym, he would possess the body of Fulbwerter to use his voice and larynx, and he would use Fulbwerter's body to literally teach the 28 doctrines of devils to all the members and recruits in the temples and sanctuaries of Satanism.
Perfect. Now, folks, in the first program, and if you haven't heard the first program, then you're going to have to go back and listen to that immediately after listening to this one, because we're going to be picking up halfway through the list of the 28 doctrines of demons as were revealed to Phil Botha. But before we get started where we left off, I'm going to take a moment to review the ones that we touched on and had Francis explain to us in the first part. They are, number one, astrology, number two, fortune telling, number three, the Ouija board, number four, yoga, number five, reincarnation, number six, karate zen, number seven, astral projection, number eight, luck charms, number nine, Islamic curses, number 10, sects of mystery and order, 11, witchcraft white and black, 12 was black magic, 13 was hypnotism, 14, superstition, 15, faith healing, and 16 was spirit healing. That leaves us off at number 17, which is the poltergeist. Francis, why is the poltergeist a doctrine of demons?
It is due to the problematic essence of danger revolving around the people and the homes and buildings that it enters. Poltergeist is one of the most damning spirits you can find from the black magic, and also comes via the Muslim curses on ex-employers. These spirits would release fear into the homes and the lives of the victims by perhaps moving cups or forks, furniture, noises of scraping. They even break windows. And the weird thing is, when the doors open, often they have the power given to them. They will manipulate the weather within a 200-yard radius. And that is because, and this is what some Christians do not believe, the devil, the enemy, Satan, still has power over the earth. He is in control of the climate.
You know, that's really interesting. And I know that I've actually had this happen where I prayed about the weather.
Really?
And watched it change. I mean, of course this is subjective, but like I remember one case where like it was supposed to snow really bad, and my wife had to do her job at the time outside, and you know, it was going to be like she's end up doing it in a giant snowstorm. And so right. I prayed, Lord God, I just hold back the snow until she's done. Well, it didn't snow. The storm didn't hit until literally she was done. And then it hit. And it's like, okay, did the power of prayer delay that storm for an hour or two? I think it did. But, you know, that's just my faith. However, we see Jesus commanding the storm to stop as if it were a child in the Gospels. He gets out and he says, stop. And it stopped. And that was on his way to Gadara. And so it's like, you know, can spirits fester up these storms? Well, if Jesus rebukes it, like a person gets rebuked, it makes sense to me. So this is very interesting. And then you're tying it to the poltergeist spirit.
Because the enemy is still called the prince of this world.
Wow. In the next doctrine, you detail levitation. What is that, and how is that a doctrine of demons?
Levitation is when, I did it myself, you would be into meditation most of the time, and you would lift up your body from the floor or the bed or the chair. And I know there's a lot of stuff now on YouTube where they have a special hard steel or wooden contraption that holds the person, and they put the cloak or the gown or the jersey over it so you can't see that he's not levitating at all. He's just holding on to something. But the genuine people who do levitation, they are all from transcendental meditation. They do yoga, and they are deep into the realms of yoga. They have the ability from the enemy. This is only done by demonic forces. They will lift up your body and you can float around the room. This is what the Lama Tibetan monks used to do. They float around the temple, unaided by anything, only using a mantra, which is the specific name of a demon, and meditating over and over and over.
The next doctrine that you have on this list is a huge one. And over here in the West, we do see different variations of it. And it is voodoo. Now, I'm actually half Haitian. And I know I was not born on the island, but my dad was. And I know that there was quite an influence of voodoo on the island. Now, from what I understand, quite a bit of it is actually based in superstition. The other half is very, very real and very dark. Why don't you spend some time talking about that?
Right. Voodoo takes different forms with different people, but in Satanism, specifically in Satanism, voodoo is not Satanism. It is just part of the occult. Mm-hmm. And a lot of Africans in South Africa, or Africa itself as a continent, they use voodoo a lot of the time. But in Satanism, it's a different ballgame, because only the priest or the high priest, he will... Now, this is going to sound weird, because this is where you divide the men from the mice as Christians. Okay. In voodoo, the high priest literally changes his human skin into that of an animal, with fur, with claws, with hair, with fangs or teeth or eyes. But he takes on a completely different thing, and this is called lycanthropy, which we will come to later. But the part which I find most disturbing is the voodoo demon's name. I've mentioned quite a few times in the previous episode with Daniel about a dominie. It is the Afrikaans word for pastor. And in the Dutch Reformed Church, I used to go around for the first 10 years of my ministry as a missionary, stopping the young people in their youth meetings on a Friday and Saturday. Please stop singing Kumbaya. And they couldn't understand. It's just Kumbaya, my Lord. I said, no, it's not. I said, the song comes out of Africa. I said, if you go on the internet, basically now you can, then you couldn't. Mm-hmm. If you go and check the copyrights of Kumbaya, there is no copyright because it's not German, French, Aramaic. It's not any of those languages. And Phil shared with us, and I went stone cold. When you are the high priest, you have to wait for 1 hour to have this metamorphosis take place. Lysanthropy, you go into the form of the animal. And during the hour, every single person in Satanism practicing voodoo, they go in the form of a snake and they sing the voodoo demon's name, Kumbaya. Now, I will not give you the exact spelling or the exact pronunciation. I will just mention the song that we all use, Kumbaya. They have the exact same melody line, but they just pronounce the name slightly different, because when you are trying to conjure or call up or summon a demon, you have to have certain mathematical skills. He only comes up, most demons, 98% of demons, only come up once every 365 days, only once a year. And when you do call him up, you have to have something valid as a reason to call him up. Otherwise, they will attack you. That's why it is so dangerous. But they sing Kumbaya because it's the voodoo demon's name. And then Phil becomes the, what they call the papaloi. Papaloi is male priest in charge. And I would urge you, this sounds like I'm canvassing, but I would urge you, by August, hopefully, we will have published Doctrines of Devils, where I will share with you in detail how only one priest, papaloi in the Philippines, he came back from the dead twice. He came back the second time as a zombie, and they had to feed him a special diet of salt only before he passed away. That, my friends, is the incredible power and evil of the enemy when practicing voodoo. Stay away. Do never, ever, ever go anywhere close to a meeting of voodoo. If you have friends who think they want to go and just video it, keep them away, because there is so much eternal danger at stake just by being in the participation of a voodoo.
Wow. Well, you said some pretty big bombshells there, Francis. I mean, okay. So when Satanists practice voodoo, what you're saying is that the high priest will change form into that of an animal, and right, it will have hair and claws and fangs, whatever the animal is. Sounds like a werewolf type thing to me.
You've got it.
And then the participants change also, not just the high priest, but these participants turn into snakes and will sing.
No. Okay, sorry. No. What I meant to say,
okay,
I think I did say, they would dance around holding each other by the waist in the form of a snake.
Okay.
My apology. My apologies for getting that wrong for you.
Okay. So good. So we cleared that up. So not everybody is shape-shifting here, but in fact, you are saying that the priest, the papaloi, yes, will change form. And I assume this isn't at all so-called voodoo rituals. This would be at the very highest forms of voodoo rituals. Am I right in assuming that?
Yes. Daniel, that would only be done and performed in Satanism.
Okay.
Outside it's a completely different ballgame. And I want to drop one of the biggest, I don't know what to call it, but I'm going to drop it anyhow. Do with voodoo.
Okay.
Sorry, to call it what?
No, we just call it a bombshell. It explodes.
And I have to drop this bombshell, Daniel, so please excuse me, but it's fundamentally important and very true to do with voodoo.
Okay.
I live in South Africa. I am not a racist at all. I have so many colored friends. I used to minister in the colored locations, the mixed white and black together, for 6.5 years, singing the gospel, leading them to Christ. Mm-hmm. So I don't have an issue with color. I have an issue with salvation or not salvation. And voodoo is done a lot of the time by Africans. This is part of the occult. It is never, ever Satanism. Because something that Phil told me, and he backed it up, and I will share a bit in the book, is that no African is ever allowed to join, become a member, or be recruited, or enter any satanic temple or sanctuary around the world. That is how bad the devil, the enemy, really thinks about the African. It's got nothing to do with race. It's got to do with Maldek Malona. And I hope that you will go and check it up. M-A-L-D-E-K M-A-L-O-N-A. Maldek Malona. Next.
Okay, so let me just get something cleared up for the listeners.
Sure.
We're talking about voodoo, and we're talking about some really high-level stuff here, because we're bringing shape-shifting into the conversation. You mentioned that it is practiced that way in higher levels of Satanism, but that voodoo is not Satanism.
That's right.
Okay, and just so it's clear, how do people practice high levels of voodoo in Satanism without voodoo being Satanism?
All of these 28 doctrines, mm-hmm. it's not Satanism. It is simply occult.
Gotcha.
To put it in a nutshell, when I do a lot of talks at high schools, and I share with children, because in South Africa, we have this crazy phase they're going through. They want to have hexagrams and pentagrams stuck on their suitcases because I belong to Satan. Everybody wants to belong to Satan after seeing some stupid Hollywood movie. And then I always share with them as a whole assembly. If I read a newspaper, we have a newspaper in South Africa, Cape Town, called The Argus. If I read The Argus newspaper every single day for 24 days, and the next month I read it every single day for 31 days. If I do this for 10 years, I will never, ever, ever become a staff member or work for the editor of The Argus.
Hmm.
I will simply have so much knowledge of what people are telling me in the newspaper. And it is the same with Satanism. You can practice the Ouija board. You can play with it, call it a game. You can levitate, you can meditate like I did. You can lift your body off the floor. You can astral project, but it is not astral project. Astral projection is not Satanism. You have to be initiated all three times into Satanism. And here's the crunch. Satanism, black magic, or just normal magic, and Freemasonry. All three of them, they all get initiated into the same three initiations as Satanism. And the third one is they bury you in a coffin and they load your body up in a grave and they put 6 feet of sand over you.
Wow. Thank you for that. The next doctrine of demons on the list is psychometry. Can you explain that?
Yes. They have a lot of this psychometry in many of the Hollywood movies with detectives and precincts of the cops, where they would actually come and help the police find someone who's been kidnapped, held for ransom. And look, I would go out on a limb here and say 75-80% of people who practice psychometry or the clairvoyants and mediums, they are genuine, like the famous John Edward. They are genuine. They are so open to their spirit, which is the enemy, not from Christ, not the Holy Spirit. And this is how it works. In a nutshell, an evil spirit links onto bad people, wicked people. They want to get a ransom. They want to kidnap someone. They kidnap a child. And the dad's a multi-millionaire. They kidnap the child, put it away. Then, in order for the enemy to look good and the occult must be broadened and canvassed, they get hold of the police and they send a clairvoyant who is so into the occult, and she says, let me touch a handkerchief or a shoe of the poor child. And within minutes, I see water. I see a large sign. I think it's something to do with Detroit. Yes, It's near this and it's near that. And within 24 hours, the child is found. And what happens? The occult, the spirit medium, is praised and glorified. And this is all that the enemy wants. This is how the enemy works. He doesn't stab you to death. He feeds you things like the old cliche, you put a frog in cold water in a pot and you turn the stove on very, very low, and the frog won't know the difference until he is boiled to death. That is exactly how the enemy works in everybody's life, Christians as well as unbelievers.
Interesting. The next one on the list, telekinesis. What's going on there?
This is what I find very interesting. Mm-hmm. Telekinesis has been around for many, many years, but it was made famous by a Jewish Uri Geller, G-E-L-L-E-R. And he would bend spoons, and they would say the automatic stopping or starting and repairing of watches or clocks, even while he's in a radio station, like you are now interviewing me. Mm. We are miles apart. I'm in Cape Town, you in America. And if you had a watch, I would say, look at your watch now, and do you notice, Daniel, that it's going backwards? He has sparked off a spirit, and that spirit has got hold of you. And the only reason you would believe it is because you are already into some of the doctrines of devils, like you read the stars foretell, or you've had your fortune told. And as I said, the enemy doesn't stab you to death. He feeds you little nice pieces of the occult doctrines of devils till you get to a place where you're talking to a person on the radio and he says, look at the hands of your watch. You're going back in time. And suddenly, oh, it's true. And that is how telekinesis actually takes place. It is done by another spirit, because Fulbwerter and his helpers then, he was about 3 years old in Christ, they got hold of Mr. Geller when he came to Johannesburg, South Africa, for one of his shows. And they pulled him aside at interval. They said, Mr. Geller, what is actually going on when you bend the spoon so quickly? Hmm. And he admitted to full. He said, I'm sorry, I have no idea when the power came within me. And the thing is, I cannot stop the power either. I just bend spoons automatically. And besides Uri Geller saying to full, he has no control how to stop the bending of the spoons because it comes spontaneously. He also mentioned something to Phil, and he told me, I have gone on YouTube and I have watched specifically for these people to come through. Uri Geller has made such a bad impact upon the Jewish folk, teenagers and young adults in Israel. Every year, they now have a competition for the last, I stand under correction, last 15 years in Israel. Many countries as well, but mainly Israel.
Hmm.
And we find Jewish teenagers competing one another to try and bend a spoon within 2 seconds. That's the record. They can now hold a spoon and make it bend within a second and a half. And this is all on YouTube. But you see the dangers of this. It looks, it's funny, and say, look, oh, I have power. And they go to a friend's house and they can bend a spoon. But it is one of the doctrines of devils. And they don't realize it, but they need salvation to get out of it. Because, as we mentioned earlier, mm-hmm. he will come like a thief in the night, and you won't know it.
Yeah, that's very interesting. You know, unfortunately, Israel still stands as one of the most secular nations in the world today. Most people recognize that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the whole telekinesis thing, I've seen the spoon bending depicted. I remember years and years ago, I decided I was going to try to bend a spoon with my mind. I failed horribly. Now I know. To praise God.
Yes,
I could not bend a spoon. That's a good thing. Okay, so that's telekinesis. Next on the list is divination. What is divination?
This is slightly different, but Yuri Geller also uses it. He has now made himself available to rich, I would say, multimillionaires around the world who want to find precise spots and locations where these gold or water or oil or diamonds or other minerals that are lying dormant or mainly just hidden. And divination in South Africa, I've seen it done here. We have things called a borehole. If there's not enough water coming through the taps and you don't want to pay too much for the taps, if you dig deep enough in certain backyards of certain suburbs, you can actually find a spring of water, and then they connect a tap, and then you have water to water your garden, fill your swimming pool and stuff like that. And when they do that, they come with, it almost looks like the wishbone of a chicken, but much, much bigger, same wooden pieces. And they will walk to a spot and the tip will start bouncing. And immediately they will say, right, we're gonna dig right here. 99 times out of 100, there is water where they dig.
I actually had someone ask me about this. I don't remember how long ago it was. And just the technique of, you know, doing this and looking for things, whatever. And of course I told them, I said, well, that doesn't sound like God's way of doing things. This is very interesting, and it's certainly done, and I have read about this. And now the next doctrine is really interesting, and when I came across it in the book, I was like, wow, my goodness. Because the next doctrine of demons is teleportation on this list. Now, the average person, they think about teleportation, they're thinking Star Trek. They're thinking, you know, science fiction. Yes. They're thinking future tech, whatever have you. But here you are in your book, you have Phil Botha basically talking about it. Not only that, I remember when I read the book, there was a very specific comment that was made that teleportation through time and space can only be accomplished when there is no drop of blood being emitted from the body.
Right. Like,
why was that included? Why? So I'm reading it, right, and I'm thinking, why so specific if not to talk about something that's very real, maybe even that Phil Botha had actually done? So anyway, tell us about it. What is teleportation from the Satanist perspective?
Teleportation as a doctrine of devil is when your whole body, your literal body, soul, and spirit, all three, it is then taken either into or back in time. And for those of you who say, well, there's no such thing as space travel, we'll come to that a bit later. But if it's in a temple, in a home, a clinic, maybe a sanctuary or a city or country, but you can travel to desired destinations of any place you want to go. Now, astral projection, only your spirit leaves your body. When I told you I could see myself in the yoga position. But teleportation is your whole body, soul, and spirit. And the part about the blood, I found so interesting. When Phil was teleported to America, he went there so often for studies, the Rosicrucians. And when he was coming back, he had all his clothes ready and he just wanted to go shave quickly before he put out the mathematical set and called up the correct name at the correct time. While he was shaving in a rush, he nicked himself on his chin and a little bit of blood. So he took a piece of cotton wool, dabbed it on, tried to use some aftershave, but it wouldn't stop. He said, I haven't got time. He did his mathematical equations correctly. He called on the name of the spirit that was going to help him teleport, and he couldn't move. And he knew he was in trouble. He did it again, even slower this time. Nothing happened. The third time, he called Thorana. Thorana came into the hotel room and he was very angry. But he let things go because Phil didn't know. And he said to him, "We are limited by everything we do according to the laws of Iowa." That's what Satanists call Jesus Christ. They never call him by name. They call him Iowa. And this was a monumental statement by Thorana, because he is, still today, he is the governing prince of all the occult, of all Satanism, and of all demonic forces over the whole of Africa and half of America. That is his position. He is so boastfully proud of it. And he said, "We have been limited by Iowa, that if any of us in the temple or the sanctuary teleport and we want to come back and we just nick ourselves, if there's any blood from as small a sore as you have on your body, you cannot move for 24 hours. I still don't know why. Phil still doesn't know why. He asked Pastor Pitzer, who led him to Christ, and even he couldn't find out why. But apparently the blood still plays a magnificent part, that even the enemy cannot teleport one person's body to another country if there is a fraction of blood spilt. Daniel, I need to say something quickly.
Yes.
Just to cover this now. With the teleportation, people need to understand that with Phil becoming the ninth level, the highest in Satanism, he had to teleport his entire body, soul, and spirit from Johannesburg right into the Rosicrucian Temple in America under 3 minutes. And only if you can do this, this is why I say Anton LaVey never had an idea of what real Satan was about. Hmm. Only if you can teleport your body, soul, and spirit from Johannesburg then to America under 3 minutes would he attain Magus Thorana, High Priest of Satan in South Africa. And that's exactly what he did. But do you know what it is, Daniel? It is still a very, very poor imitation, because our Lord Jesus not only teleported himself,
that's right,
but an entire fishing boat with his disciples, 3 or 4 miles in distance. And again, in Acts chapter 8, 39 and 40, we found there that there was a major revival going on in Samaria, and Philip was leading many souls to Christ, but the Lord desired someone extra special to be saved so he could spread the gospel from Africa. And an angel sent Philip and told him to go to Gaza, and this was some 100 miles from Samaria. And on arrival, Philip explained to the eunuch how to become a child of God. And then we find once more this converted eunuch came up out of the water, because he said, "I believe Jesus is the Son of God. There's water. What stopped you from being baptized?" After he came up out of the water baptized, he stopped the chariot and he urged Philip to baptize him. But mistake, we're going to go back there. And after he came up out of the water, Philip was nowhere to be found. Teleportation, that is the real deal. And the teleportation that Phil Boerter did as the high priest is a poor, poor imitation of what God can do with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, and that's right. And we're tapping into a lot of imitations, because a lot of what you're describing in all these 28 doctrines of devils is really usurping the guidance of the Holy Spirit in order to allow God to lead us into things,
yes,
by demonic powers. That it's counterfeiting what God's inheritance includes. The Bible says the Holy Spirit will lead us and guide us into all truth, and that he will show us things that even Jesus couldn't explain to his apostles and disciples before he left, because they were not ready to bear it. I mean,
yes.
So we find that, you know, we're just dealing with a long list, folks, and this is just my heart, you know, a long list of counterfeits. You want the real, the real power is Jesus Christ. He is the real power, the real authority. And you had mentioned in the last program we did that these occultists imitate and counterfeit every single one of the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit, which is absolutely true. On one side, there's no counterfeit without a genuine. And so why yes. doesn't this apply also to something like teleportation? Wow. The next one on your list is necromancy. Let's get into that. What's going on there?
Daniel, I'm going to be very short with this one because people don't need to know too much about this to try and get into it. But most of it will come out in the book where there'll be tons of scriptures to help them balance themselves.
Okay.
Because necromancy is the so-called speaking to the dead. In other words, digging up the grave, not a John Edward type where he can tell you what grandmother's doing over on the other side. If you go home under the bed, on the floor in the red box, you'll find this and that. Necromancy is when they dig up the dead and the graves, they open the coffin, and then they speak to the dead, and the dead is possessed by a spirit and is resurrected. This is why I say very short piece. But the bottom line is it is impossible because Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, holds the keys to hell and death. Revelation 1 verse 18. And nobody can speak to the dead. Even Thorunner, the spirit guide of Fulbuerta, told him there is no such thing as speaking to the dead.
Very interesting. If you can comment on this now, I have a question for you. The yes. account of Philbotha's testimony in which he encounters a French priest is fascinating. As yes. I read that, I was just sitting there scratching my head. And I was saying, well, I guess, you know, I just have to take it at face value because I don't know everything. And I've done that so many times in my walk with God. You just can't believe it. I feel like if a year goes by and God doesn't change my theology, well, it never happens. So, but yes, if it did, yes. something would be wrong because I don't know it all. And sure, no one sure. really does. So I'm reading your account.
Amen. Amen.
Or Phil's account. And the French priest apparently had tried something. And it's called transmigration, which I guess we'll get into later. So maybe I'm jumping the gun on this yeah. comment. But without you getting into a full explanation of it, he had tried to put himself, and I guess successfully did put himself, in someone else's physical body. And then that body died. And you said in the account that once the body died, the voice of the French priest could be heard from the dead body crying out, cursing God. Now, okay, where does this fall when we talk about the concept of necromancy? I know that's kind of like a really, like, you know, whoa. Kind of question, and our listeners mm-hmm. are probably like, oh sure. my gosh, now I really need to read this book, Magus Thorona, High Priest of Satan in South Africa. You can get it on Amazon, by the way. But I just want to get your commentary on this.
What do you want me to say?
Did I say it all already? Is there nothing else to add?
You did, basically. You're like stealing my thunder, but thanks anyway, Daniel. No, look, in essence, the French priest, sometime before he came to South Africa, maybe a year or two, transmigrated. This is where it is a voodoo ritual as well, where he gets somebody else who is able and willing, and he forces his spirit into his dying, decaying, or sick-ridden body into someone much younger because he wants to live longer. He doesn't want to die. This is done. This can be done, and I will give you scripture as well, and this only comes in the published book of Doctrines of Devils, where it speaks in the Old Testament, if you find a man with another spirit within his body, put him to death. That is transmigration. And in the book, again, it sounds like canvassing, but in Magus Thorunner, Fulbert's biography, they found in his ruling as high priest, they found a beautiful model who was a witch, and she wanted to expose parts of Satanism. And before she could get an email or a letter or anything to somebody, they had members there, they drugged her, they took her to a temple where they had a goat. And they went through the ritual of transmigration, and Philbert was in control. He was the one that forced her spirit out of her human body into that of the goat. And they forced the spirit of the goat into her body. 3 hours later, they slit the throat of the goat, and she died. That's why in Satanism, and I need to say this slowly because people will not believe me, it comes from the former high priest. No baby is ever killed, slaughtered, or sacrificed in Satanism. No teenager, no human being is ever murdered in cold blood, killed, and cut up in Satanism. It is against the policy of the enemy, because they are the most secretive underground organization in the entire world. You will never find a satanic temple or a satanic sanctuary, because before you even get to a radius of 10 kilometers, the spirits guarding every priest will have told him that you're coming. That's why they are 1,000 times more perceptive than Big Brother. You can get the FBI, you can get forensics, you can get all these highfalutin things that you want to use and say, they can never stop this and that. The minute that witch phoned her friend to expose Satanism, the evil spirit, like her guardian angel, the evil spirit with her, immediately transmitted the signal to every single spirit within Satanism in South Africa. And within an hour, she was held by the keepers. She was drugged. They're not allowed to harm her body. They took her to the temple, and through voodoo and transmigration, that is the way she died. They picked up her body eventually with the spirit. I'll do it slowly because some of you won't be able to wrap your brain around this. They picked up her lifeless body, screaming like a goat to try and get out, trying to get up, but kept on falling on all fours. They took her to the nearest institution, mental institution. They had her submitted, and they wrote everything down as they were caring parents of their daughter, but they don't know what she was doing. They looked after her. Of course, the satanic members never came back. And I think it was 2 or 3 months later, unable to feed her, professional surgeons and physicians put her to death. And that is the way that they kill in Satanism. Nobody can leave Satanism and try and betray the movement, because they are not allowed to publicly put you to death, because you would leave evidence. There's never any evidence of someone dying in transmigration. The spirit goes into the goat, they will slit the goat's throat, and the spirit of that girl will roam for all eternity until Judgment Day, where God will deal with her.
Wow. Thank you for that. The next item on the list is church visitation, and we had brought this up in the first program. Obviously, we didn't get to it. So now that we have arrived at church visitation on the list, why don't you spend some time talking about how those on the left-hand path get their hands dirty with this one?
Okay. I mentioned earlier in the previous episode that crucifixes cannot harm any member of Satan, possessed or not possessed. Neither can Bibles, because they study this. And certain members, Phil used to train to go and infiltrate evangelical churches, not churches that don't preach the gospel. You know, they baptize babies and that makes them a Christian. Those kind of churches are not evangelical. They're actually following Nimrod, because Nimrod's priests used to do that. Baptize the baby and you remove all the sin. Yay! 16 years later, be confirmed. And you just say a few things. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that he was born and rose from the dead. And suddenly you are a confirmed member of that denomination. But when they walk out of the church, they still do not have Jesus Christ as their personal savior. So these people are trained in Satanism, and then they are sent out for the next year, and they will infiltrate evangelical churches. and they will try to get onto as many committees and high up in the church so they can stop all born-again, evangelical, spirit-filled people from coming into those churches. And that is how they stop them. It is so cleverly done. And again, I don't know if anything's changed in 2015, but in the 70s, with Phil going to the churches, he used to explain to them, witches are not ugly people with 60,000 volts of ugliness with a wart on their nose. They are beautiful models in institutes. They are mayors, they are lawyers, they are attorneys, they are prosecutors, they are judges, they are barmen, they are postmen. They are anybody that they want to be. They do not dress in black. These are the ridiculous young teenagers seeking attention from their parents that they want to dress in black. I want to dress in black. I want to be a Satanist. You will never be a Satanist that way. You cannot watch 16 DVDs on horror movies and suddenly say, oh, let's join Satanism. It doesn't work that way, like Phil Buerta. Mm-hmm. Phil Buerta didn't want to join Satanism. He was chosen by the evil spirits before he was 10 years of age. And you'll have to read his book to see what they did to him as a young child. And they modeled him that eventually, when he got confirmed in the Dutch Reformed Church, totally unsaved, he wanted nothing to do with the church. Within 2 weeks, he was initiated into the priesthood of Satan. And the reason is because that church didn't preach the gospel.
Wow. So that leaves us off, Francis, at lycanthropy. And this is the one that takes us back to some of the things you were describing as occurring in high-level voodoo rituals and meetings. Okay. According to Phil Botha's understanding and experience with lycanthropy, what's going on here with that?
It is again aimed at voodoo ritual with the evil spirit called Kumbaya, which is the so-called god of voodoo. And lycanthropy is when you do take on the formation of the animal or reptile that you have to change into. You cannot perform the entire voodoo ceremony in Satanism if you haven't had that change of lycanthropy. And you mentioned earlier, Daniel, in the first episode, very key word, werewolf. And that is exactly where a lot of the Hollywood got some of their blockbusters from. According to tradition and superstition, werewolves were human beings who took on a form of a wolf like creature at night, because as you know, according to Hollywood, everything spooky and ghostly form happens at night. Demons perform like lunatics during the day. They don't need the night to scare people, but we just think superstition. But lycanthropy, we need to determine more carefully, because the tales of werewolves were actually told as far back as ancient Greece and Rome. You remember the harmless story as the Little Red Riding Hood speaking to an animal. Have you ever wondered why didn't Eve ever get scared or frightened of a serpent speaking to her? Food for thought. I thought I'd throw it in.
Okay. No, I mean, the whole conversation on lycanthropy is fascinating. And I'll tell you, Francis, you know, I've run into this. I mean, I've had reports come to me from multiple sources, multiple witch doctors that have released their testimonies out of Africa, all claim to have been initiated into the shape-shifting side of things. And there's the animal side of the shape-shifting, and some even attain to the level where they can shape-shift into other human forms. And that's not gender-specific. Males do seem to have the ability to shift into females, and this is something that I think, you know, we just need to understand as the body of Christ. The devil's working with quite a bit of power, and he is deceiving us left and right, and we just don't see it.
That's right.
And the next one on the list is really interesting. And for some people, this one might just blow them away because you think, well, isn't that just a healthy lifestyle? But you bring up vegetarianism.
Yes, but with the difference. Vegetarianism is very, very detrimental to your life. Let me finish the sentence. If, only if, you are a member in a satanic temple or a satanic sanctuary. To go on a vegetarian diet or way of life is excellent for your health, because they've done so many pieces of research that all red meat, not some, all red meat will give you cancer. They just don't know how much per week, per month, per year, until you activate the cells. And if you want cholesterol, hardening of the arteries, by all means, have your barbecues. So vegetarianism is a very, very good way to live your life. But I'm talking only of Satanists in the movement. When Phil Buerta was initiated into Satanism, he was ordered to abstain from all red meat, dairy products, everything, and to become a vegetarian. And he asked Thorona why. And he said to him, in Satanism, we have to force them to become vegetarians because it is between 90 and 94% more susceptible to possess a member of Satan when he hasn't touched red meat or any dairy products for 48 hours. So Phil Buerta had to abstain completely in order to be high priest. So those of you out there who don't eat red meat, because I don't, but I love my chicken and I love my fish, but those of you who think that vegetarianism is the way of life and the good way of life, keep on doing it. Only people in Satanism who become vegetarians do it for the specific reason that they can become demon-possessed 90 to 95% more easier.
And I think this explains why so many times you run into Indians or people practicing various forms of, you know, Hinduism in India that are also vegetarian.
Very good. Very good, Daniel. Carry on.
Oh, no, I'm just making some connections here. And we had connected Hinduism way back when we were talking about
that's right.
Some of the yoga practices and the transcendental meditation and all of that. And, you know, I mean, I even think about Elijah when he was fleeing from Jezebel, that he was told to eat meat.
Right, that's right.
You know, why not vegetables? it's some interesting thoughts that go behind this one. But what are your thoughts about my comment regarding India?
I think you are so spot on, Daniel, because I once thought, how would the ignorant, unlearned, very, very poor people ever get out of it, because it's reincarnation. They say, quote unquote, if I stab you, I will come back blind in my one eye, because there's no forgiveness. As you know, in Hinduism, they don't have a savior, so there's no forgiveness. They don't believe in sin as we do. Sorry. So if everybody of the Hindus, I think it's close to a billion, if all the Hindus, devout Hindus, are all vegetarians, and they are doing 17, 18 different things, parts of the occult, mantras, demons' names, every position of yoga is a position of prayer to Shiva, Krishna, Vishnu, where does it end? So they are so glued into the occult. They're doing everything except becoming Satanists. Plus they're vegetarians. They have no way of ever receiving Christ. I've got many, many missionary friends, American missionary friends that go over there. It is so difficult to reach the gurus, the swamis, the yogis, and the priests, because it is their vegetarianism and their susceptibility to being possessed and to keep the people down, ignorant, unlearned. Nobody, for instance, Duval, let's go to India, all right, Francis B., let's say minus Bucks. Mm-hmm. If you are born in the Bucks gene, you can become a priest in your next life, in your next life, your next life. But because you are born Duval, there is no way that you will ever be able to become a priest or a guru or a Shiva or Vishnu. You now have to cultivate yourself, and you have to look after cows, and you have to plead poverty on the streets for all the tourists that come around. So even though you would like to become a priest, you cannot. Why? Because you were born on the Duval side. So India has their own perfect apartheid. Mm-hmm. The priests rule, and everybody has to give them because the priests don't work. So all the poor people have to give them food and penance and money. Mm-hmm. And this is where I say, sorry, this is where I add in the published version of Doctrines of Devils. I add quite a bit about what India is doing and the tragic state of India today, where there was an American preacher, Bob Larson. I met him in 76 and 77 when he came to South Africa. And he shared with me that he was so heartbroken to see the hundreds of thousands of poor people who cannot ever become a priest or a guru only because of their so-called apartheid. And he said, when the women have babies, male or female, the very poor would break their wrists, break their ankles, and would not take them to the clinics or the hospitals to be rectified. They would leave them like that, screaming in pain. Why? Because for the next 15 years, those children would be placed on the pavements so wealthy tourists on vacation would throw money to them. That is the tragedy of India because of the gurus, the priests, and the swamis. And the worst thing of all, United Nations have known this for the last 42 years, and they have never, ever, ever done anything about it. Why? Because it is religious freedom. Mm. I rest my case.
My goodness. Well, at that, we've actually come to the end of the 28 doctrines of demons. Because, folks, I jumped the gun earlier on in this interview and brought up the subject of transmigration, which was the last doctrine on the list. But there are what you call seven churches of Satan who preach doctrines taught in Satanism. And some of these on this list may sound unfamiliar to those of you that are listening. Some may be of no surprise. But, you know, I'm going to review quickly the 28 doctrines that we have gone through, and then I'm going to let our guest talk a little bit about the seven churches of Satan that he has labeled. So, the 28 doctrines of demons that we have gone through, if you are taking notes, have been 1. Astrology, 2. Fortune telling, 3. The Ouija board, 4. Yoga, 5. Reincarnation, 6. Karate Zen, 7. Astral projection, 8. Luck charms, 9. Islamic curses, 10. Sects of mystery and order, 11. Witchcraft, 12. Black magic, 13. Hypnotism, 14. Superstition, 15. Faith healing, 16. Spirit healing, 17. The poltergeist, 18. Levitation, 19. Voodoo, 20. Psychometry, 21. Telekinesis, 22. Divination, 23. Teleportation, 24. Necromancy, 25. Church visitation, 26. Lycanthropy, 27. Vegetarianism, and 28. Transmigration. That, folks, is the 28 doctrines of demons that has for so long evaded the understanding of those in the church. Francis, in order to close out this two-part series we've done with you, why don't you go ahead and talk to our audience about the seven churches of Satan?
The seven churches of Satan all preach and teach three doctrines that are currently taught in Satanism. Just one is that they don't believe there is a literal hell in the center of the earth where people will die, be judged for their sins, and they will burn literally where the fire never stops, where the worm never dies. They don't believe in a literal place of torment for the rewards of sin against God and against Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, these people do not believe that you can be saved or born again by the blood of Jesus only. And I mentioned the word only on purpose because the most deceptive of all seven churches of Satan don't tell you about that. They say you can be born again, we are born again, we love Jesus, we're saved, but they don't tell you their condition for salvation. Seven churches are the Mormons, Seventh-day Adventists, believe it or not, Jehovah's Witnesses, Christian Scientists, Old Apostolic Church, New Apostolic Church, both of those are primarily in South Africa, and the Christian Spiritualist Church. And I don't have the information with me because the Doctrines of Devils has been translated while I speak, but I want to give you something, quote-unquote, paraphrased by Francis B., because I have the actual documents that I took out of a Seventh-day Adventist conference. And it goes like this. And if you listen to any Seventh-day telling you something and you think they're kind, good-hearted people, listen to what they say. Quote-unquote, paraphrase. Anybody who loves Jesus and worships on a Sunday will never, ever, ever spend eternity with Jesus Christ, and they will receive 666. Paraphrase, quote unquote. That is what the Seventh-day Adventists believe. I have it in black and white from their conference books, which they don't tell the public.
You know, I've talked to a number of individuals that have come out of the Seventh-day Adventist, because that's the probably on your list would have been, in my opinion, the most shocking. Because it's not as obvious as, I would say, the Mormons, the Jehovah's Witnesses, certainly the Christian Scientists. But anyone that's ever come out has always looked back and said it felt like a cult. And, well, here it is. Wow.
Daniel, and, sorry to interrupt you. Something that I always use as, you could say, a measuring stick is when you find cults, people joining different cults, there's always one thing that sticks out. One, they are the only true church.
That's right.
Mormons believe that Seventh-day Adventists emphatically, nobody's going to get to heaven and spend eternity with Jesus because the Seventh-day. And the Seventh-day's problem is they almost worship the Sabbath day more than Jesus, because that is where their salvation is, Saturday. And it's got nothing to do with Jesus Christ and his blood and his sacrifice on the cross. But the fact that they all, 144,000, and all of them are the only church, you don't even need a wake-up call anymore. And the strange thing is that I think it was seven different churches that were all founded, and again, thanks to the demonic forces, but there were seven churches all founded in the space of 50 years. 1930, New Apostolic Church. 1930, Mormonism. 1934, Rosicrucian Order. 1834.
Okay.
1860, Seventh-day Adventists. 1875, Christian Science. 1875, Theosophy. 1879, Jehovah's Witnesses. I see a pattern, don't you?
Very perceptive. Wow. Well, Francis, this has been quite a privilege to get you on the program and to allow you to disclose the 28 doctrines of demons. I want to emphasize that he has a book out, folks. It's called Magus Thorona, High Priest of Satan in South Africa, which details the late Phil Botha's story. I want to encourage you to get your hands on it, read it, and consider the things that are documented in there, and prepare for the release of his next book on the subjects we've been addressing in this series, on the doctrines of devils, as he was going to call the book, The Doctrines of Devils, when it's released. But, you know, Francis, you mentioned in the first program that we did together about a movie that you want to see come to pass, to be created based on Phil Botha's story. Right. Why don't you tell our audience about that one more time?
Okay. God has opened up the most fantastic door for the ministry of Phil Botha by allowing me to meet South Africa's best ever Christian film producer. He's done some fantastic things, and he's, you could say, claimed to fame many years ago when the listeners might have had a VHS recorder, those old tapes. And he made a VHS tape then called Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, that was produced by Richard Vandenberg. It's very, very well known. And at our first meeting, he said that he has to, committed himself, he has to turn Magus Thorona into a full-length, two-hour Christian movie. But it's not going to be riff-raff and low-budget. We are praying and we are waiting for God to supply the needs that this movie can turn thousands upon thousands, I would say hundreds of thousands of people to Jesus Christ. Mm. It is going to rock the boat of genuine members in Satanism when they see exactly what Phil Botha was and how bad it was, because we are going to be as authentic as we can, but we are not going to have one single thing in the film that will be a stumbling block to a teenager and he will try it when he gets home. That's a no-no. We want the start of the film to the end of the film glorifying God every single way. It's a very, very sad and tragic story about a teenager not being evangelized in a church, and he became high priest of Satan because of that church. But we need to glorify everything and the grace and the blood of Jesus and his name, Jesus Christ, above all other names. God will get the glory. And our prayer is that the Holy Spirit will touch people to support the ministry, to support my ministry in pushing Magus forward. And as soon as the film reaches the screens, we are praying for nothing less than 10 million souls in wow. South Africa alone.
And if people want to get in touch with you, how can they do that?
Right. Email Francis_B@yahoo.co.uk, and the Francis is spelled with an I, FRANCIS.
Well, folks, we have just heard from Francis B. And that is yahoo.co, not com, on the web contact through email. So, folks, take it or leave it. We have just disclosed the 28 doctrines of demons. And if you find yourself engaged in some of these things, I want to encourage you, lay it down and choose Jesus. Because Amen. You're messing with the counterfeit and it is blocking you from the genuine. Plus, it's opening up the doors in your life, the hedge that you should have of protection, and giving the devil and his cronies entrance in to give you problems. There's consequences with many of these things for tampering and meddling in these doctrines of demons. So, with that said, folks, I just want to thank you so much, Francis, for being a part of this program, for joining us. And Pleasure. Until next time, God bless. and Godspeed.
Discovering the Truth with Dan Duvall is the premier radio program designed to center you on the kingdom of God, to equip you with faith in Jesus Christ, and to unveil the truth behind the lies. This program has been a production of Bride Ministries. You can find us at www.bridemovement.com. At our website, you can contact us, access resources, and support us with donations. We need partners in order to continue to produce our vision, which is to promote unity in the body of Christ worldwide and assist in the creation and development of sheep nations. Partner with us and be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Until next time, God bless and Godspeed.